open up our Bibles in. The Gospel of John, chapter number 11. Gospel of John, chapter number 11. Find that place if you're able to. Let's stand together. John's Gospel, chapter number 11. I sure desire your prayers. We want to be a blessing to the people of God. We want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And I appreciate what the Lord's done for us. I was thinking while they were singing that song about getting it under the blood, I'm glad, thank God, if you're born again by the good grace of God, you've ever got it under the blood.
Amen.
You ain't got to worry about it reappearing. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, listen, you might have somebody bring it back up to you, but as far as that account between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure glad that thing's free and clear. I mean, I'm going to go to bed tonight. Brother said, I'm going to rest knowing that whatever I prayed, and according to 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, I thank God when I've got it under the blood that He's cleansed me from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Let's look at the text. The Bible says, John chapter number 11, I'm sure that this is a pretty familiar text for everybody here, and I hope by the aid of the Holy Ghost He'll breathe fresh life on an old passage. Let me just point out a few verses and then I'll just move on pretty quickly. Verse chapter 11, verse number 1 says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister, or of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Notice verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice verse number 24, the Bible said, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Look down with me, if you will, verse number 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stayeth. For he hath been dead 4 days. But notice Jesus said in verse number 40. At number 40 is the proven number. Said Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Notice the Bible said the last two verses I'll read. Verse number 43. And it said when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's go for the Lord in prayer. Ask God to help us tonight. Sweet Heavenly Father, we pray one more time. And to God, I sure thank you for the text. I thank you for this text in particular. And God, I thank you for the joy that it's brought us. I thank you for the help that we've gotten from it. I pray for a few minutes of time, Lord, tonight, and God, that you'd breathe on us and help us. I pray for good unction of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray that you'd anoint the message. And one more time, I'd ask you, Lord God, that you'd please make preaching easy. But God, whether it's easy or not, I pray that you'd make it effective. And God, I pray that you'd put it down in our heart. Oh, God, I pray tonight that you'd help the Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I pray, God, that you'd help us to understand where we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to God, I'd ask you tonight, if there's somebody here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, oh God, might tonight be that night you'd pass by their way night. And God, visit them from on high. And Lord, we need you one more time. Ask you all these favors. In the lovely name of Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to say this. I've been preaching for some time, and I just don't want nobody to think I forgot. But friend, I've not gotten away from it yet. There's an awful lot of things in the scripture at this church particularly, and the believers need to learn how to rest in. Amen. I want to say this to you. The Bible does say, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with all long suffering. And that next word is doctrine. Amen. That is teaching. And Bible understanding. And let me say this, sound doctrine leads to sound faith. And that word sound means without error. Amen. And if you've got sound doctrine and you've got sound faith, that sound faith produces sound living. Amen. And so now thank God, if we get our doctrine right, it ought to affect the way we live and when we walk outside these doors. And so thank God, I want to say this to you. I want our doctrine to be right. And now listen to me, friend. If your doctrine's right, but it don't change the way you live, how you'll end up being a Pharisee. Amen. You'll have a whole bunch of stuff. And that's right. But it'll never affect how you live. And it won't affect how you love. And if you want to live right, and want to go out there and have everybody see it, but don't want to have no right doctrine, and you'll turn into a liberal. Amen. And I ain't interested in doing that. I understand this. Listen, this ain't the message, but I'm going to stay right here for just a minute while I have liberty to say so. Let me say this. And one of the worst things happening in our country right now is folks are being sucked in to this liberal movement that just says, man, we just ought to love everybody. And that's the message they produce. Come here and you'll be loved. And thank God, that's great. Amen. And you ought to be loved. But there's got to be truth to go with that love. Amen. And if there ain't no truth, thank God. And there can't be no love. Amen. And the way we know the Lord Jesus loved us is because he told us the truth. Amen. And thank God. You say, preacher, I never did like it when folks told me the truth. That truth hurt my feelings. And sometimes we don't even like the manner they tell it to us in. But I want to say this to you. If I go and I've got something wrong with me, I don't care if the doctor's nice. I don't care if he's handsome. I don't care if he's ugly. I don't care if he smiles. I just want him to tell me the truth. Amen. Hey, thank God, if I'm eat up with cancer, I don't want him to tell me everything's all right. And pat me on the back and say, hey, you're looking good. Amen. And the whole time I'm dying. And we need truth in the house of God. And this is the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. And so let me say a few things about this tonight. I've been preaching about how we need to learn how to rest. And I think we need to learn how to rest in his rulership. And we need to learn how to rest in his raiment. And we need to learn how to rest in his refuge. But then we come to this text here. And man, listen, I'm talking about one of the things. And if the believer would ever get a hold of, it's learning how to rest in the resurrection. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen. And that's why, look here. That's why the martyrs was not afraid of death. Amen. That's why we'd sing that old song and have that talk about how they quote it with their dying breath. Matt read it the other night. That's why they wasn't ever afraid too much of dying. It's because they knew the resurrection. And they understood tonight, it's just not the only world that there is. Amen. And I say praise God for it. Let me give you a few things out of this text. And then I'll be done. First thing I want you to notice simply this. Anytime you study a Bible, there's at least three types of resurrection in your Bible. And there is what we would call the spiritual resurrection. That is the resurrection of a bird. That's what Chloe was singing about. And she was in darkness till he came and found you. Amen. Oh yeah, thank God. You remember when Christ came and found you? Amen. I remember when you was in the darkness and the Holy Ghost of God moved on top of that. And to thank God you was without form and void. But oh, thank God, God said, and let there be light, and there was light. Amen. I say hallelujah to God. I'm glad I can remember when that was. Amen. And so there's a spiritual resurrection, and then there's also a figurative resurrection. And that is the terminology we would use when there is no hope, but then God brings back hope. And then lastly tonight, I want to say this. We got to learn how to rest in the literal resurrection. Amen. There is a day coming, thank God, that if you don't go by the way of the rapture, you are going by the way of the grave. Amen. And listen, I don't believe, I'm not in this. And we're not of that number that believes in soul sleep. Amen. And thank God, thank God. And my body will be in the grave. And my soul, my spirit will be with Christ. And then thank God on the resurrection day. And those things are going to reunite. Amen. And listen, whenever I come back with him, I'm going to go up with him at the same time. And my soul and spirit are going to be reunited with my body. It's going to be a new body, a likened to his body. And that's going to be my body throughout the body of eternity. Amen. And thank God. Praise God. I mean, it's literal and it's real. Amen. Oh yeah, I hope, thank God, there comes a day and that I get to be there for that. Let me say a few things. Notice here in this text, you'll find all three resurrections are present in John chapter 11. Ain't that something that we find that this whole book's about the resurrection? This whole chapter's about it. And in John chapter 11, you find all three resurrections. And the first resurrection, notice this. And the first resurrection we find is a spiritual resurrection. And notice what the text says in verse 25. I'm preaching on resting in this thing. If you'll ever find how to rest in the resurrection, it'll help you work a little better. Amen. And notice verse 25. And Jesus saith unto verse 24, Martha saith unto him, Lord, I know he shall rise again at the resurrection. Notice this last part she said, at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Let me say this to you, and I want you to help you right here. I'm talking about the first thing you'll ever have to rest in when it comes to spiritual resurrection is you'll have to rest in a person. Amen. And Jesus said, she said, hey, Lord, I know that he's going to resurrect at the last day. But Jesus said, oh, no, 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 no. He said, I am the resurrection. And I'll say this to anybody here. If you're lost, look here, good neighbor. I'm not trusting my prayers and I'm not trusting my performance in order to be saved. I'm trusting a person, amen. I'm trusting a person. That's why, look here, friend. That's why you're resting in it. And you realize tonight, if you're born again, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I hope you get this. And when you realize that you are resting in the person of Jesus Christ, and you can rest there, amen. And knowing, thank God, he's got this thing. It's not on your performance. If it was based on my performance, I'd be worried every day whether I had it or whether I didn't. Somebody help me right there. Hey, listen, thank God. I mean, I'd wake up, I'd go throughout the day, and the first time somebody cut me off, I'd wonder if I lost my salvation. But I'm not resting in my performance, amen. Oh, thank God. I'm not worried about it today. I'll not be worried about it tomorrow. I'd say this to you, thank God. I'm not resting in my prayer, amen. Hey, a lot of Baptist folks seem to be trusting in some 25-cent prayer they prayed one time. Hey, my friend, listen to me. You hear me today. If that prayer wasn't directed to the right person, hey, it'll do you no good. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hey, so listen, I've been in church before. I've been just by nature being in a lot of church. I've been around an awful lot of foolishness too. I was thinking about one time I knelt in the church down. Hey, was a lady knelt down next to us. And she said, Lord, I'd like for you to give me a new job. I'd like for you to give me a new car. And when she got done, she said, the Lord saved me. I thought, I'll listen to the whole prayer. I never heard nothing about the Lord saving nobody. Everybody started shouting it out. Hey, said, preacher, what do you think about that? And the service, I said, hey, I don't know what to tell you, but I ain't never read in the Bible where that's what salvation looks like, amen. Salvation is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that's settled in a person, you can rest assured it's all right. So could I say this to you? I don't want to mess nobody up tonight, but I do want you to hear me real good. I thank God for folks that can quote days and they quote hours and they quote seconds. I praise God for that. But could I tell you, I've been married now for 22 years or something like that. And most of the time somebody asks me, I say, brother, when did you get married? And most of the time, if I'm being honest with you, I usually throw out the wrong date. And I usually get that thing messed up. And could I tell you, I cannot remember not one word in my vow that day. I can't remember not one. We stood there that day. I can't remember not one thing I said. I can't remember not one thing that Allison said. But I can tell you this. When the doors walked in, when the doors opened up and she walked in, I said, I've got her, baby. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. And 22 years later, she's still mine. I'm not trusting in the words I said. I'm not trusting in the feelings I felt. I thank God there was a vow made. It was a covenant. It was a commitment. I'm resting in her and she's resting in me. I'm going to tell you this. When I got born again, it worked the very same way. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad, friend, that I got put in a covenant. I got put in a commitment. And now look here, good friend, and you can quote John 10 at 28 all you want to and say you walk out of the hand of God. I ain't never found one place that you can do that, amen. And so I rested him. I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you this. It's amazing to me because of bad doctrine. How many folks running around and they don't never know what they are? They don't never know what their standing is with Christ. And so they stand in this place of constant uncertainty. And if there's trouble in your heart and there's trouble in your mind and because you're not resting in the right place, and thank God you'll never enjoy this thing. Amen. But oh, thank God. If you ever learn just to rest your soul on the fact that an eternal God has said that the resurrection is not a day, but it's a person. And you say, preacher, how do you know that you got resurrected? Because my position changed. Amen. Oh, yes. How could I tell you this? My position changed judiciously in the sight of God. And it was reckoned by faith on this earth. Amen. And so the only way that happens is that I exercise my faith in Christ Jesus. And then judicially, he took my name from one place and put it in another place. I've been sealed ever since that day. Amen. Oh, yes, this, I always sing about this. And I remember one fellow asking Brother Mitchell one time. He said, Brother Mitchell said, when did your name get in the Lamb's Book of Life? And Brother Mitchell said this. He said, I don't know when it happened, but I can tell you when I found out about it. Amen. And oh, yeah. I say, hallelujah to God. I can tell you the same thing. Amen. I thank God for the day I found out that I was redeemed. Amen. And notice you rest in the fact that he said, I am the resurrection. But then this is what he said. Your position changed. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. And you say, how do you know you're alive? How do you know you changed? I'm alive in Christ. Amen. That's pretty good, thank God. I mean, for Christ to take you and I, and that were dead, and he made us alive unto God. And for ye who were dead in trespass and sin, hath he quickened. Amen. In other words, he moved over your soul and he made you alive. Amen. Alive unto God. Alive unto the Spirit. And the Spirit came and indwelt. And now you and I can rest in that doctrine of assurance. Amen. That might not do much for you, but it helps me. How's that? I mean, listen, I thank God that I'm resting in him. I'm resting in the resurrection in my person. I'm resurrected. I'm resting in the resurrection as my position. But I thought about what he says in this text. Notice this. I'm resting in the resurrection as my preservation. Listen, the Bible says, verse 26, he said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I want you to notice this text here. And the preservation, how's that? I messed some folks up with that word. But I sure am. Thank God that I am preserved and just like a good can of green beans. Amen. All I know is what he said. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's what Christ said on the matter. Amen. That's what Christ said. That's written in red in my Bible. Thank God that means Christ said it. And I can rest in anything Christ said. Amen. And so I thank God we can rest in our spiritual resurrection. I can rest in my purpose. And you say, preacher, what is our purpose? The Bible's real plain about that. Notice in verse number 4, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You know what our single united purpose is here tonight? It is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's to glorify Him wherever you're at. That's your life ought to glorify Christ. And now listen, let me help you right here. I think your ministry ought to glorify Christ. I think your marriage ought to glorify Christ. I think your home ought to glorify Christ. I think the church ought to glorify Christ. I think our kids ought to glorify Christ. I think we ought to glorify Christ wherever we're at. Don't you think so? Don't you think so? Yeah. I mean, we ought to glorify Christ at the Walmart. And we ought to glorify Christ at the Phenomart. And we ought to glorify Christ when we're working. And we ought to glorify Christ when we're resting. And we ought to glorify Christ when we're hunting. Amen. And say, preacher, what's that mean? That means we don't trap things we ain't supposed to trap. And hey, we don't shoot things we ain't supposed to shoot. Hey, thank God that means there's a season and we ought to go by it. That means we ought not snag what we ain't supposed to snag. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And thank God, I'm talking about, friend, if we're going to glorify Christ, we ought to glorify Him in every area. Amen. Oh, yes, thank God. Listen, I know some of you's tempted to shoot this deer. Amen. Yeah. I've done ran by here at night and seen somebody spotlighting on the inside of here. Amen. Yeah. And then there's a squirrel running around here. It's about as big as that deer is. I've done seen some folks eyeballing it. I understand how this thing works. But I'm telling you, it's a mighty poor representation of Christ. Yeah. And when folks want to glorify Him in church and not at their house. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, it's just resting that thing. I'm talking about if you ever just figured out. You remember whenever Christ came by your way and put you in the family of God? I mean, if He did, if you're here and you're saved, you got put in the same way I got put in, amen. And if you're in, you're in, thank God. You're shut in, you're kept in, you're locked in, you're loved in. However you want to look at it, hey, you're in and you can't get out, amen. And if you won't out, you probably never was in to start with, amen. I ain't never met nobody I thought was in ever wanted out. Amen. I don't even understand recovering fundamentalists. Have folks run around acting like this ain't the right way. And they say, oh, that was good when I was young. But then I realize they're just trying to suppress me. We ain't trying to suppress nobody. I want you to be made free. Amen. We're trying to do the very opposite of suppressing you, thank God. But I'm telling you, if you get born again, there is rest in this relationship. Oh, yes, listen, let me say this. I can tell it's a little warm. Some of you's a little tired. You must have ate a little too much. Amen. I can tell eyes are fixed, that glazed over. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Shannon, that glazed over look. They're either counting, they're either looking in heaven or they're danced off in a faraway glaze somewhere. Amen. It just ain't here right now, all right? But I'm going to say this anyhow. I thank God for the spiritual resurrection, but I thank God also for that figurative. I'm resting in the figurative resurrection. I want you to watch what the Bible says. And the Word of God talking about Martha. And said when Martha showed up, she said, Lord, and by this time he stinketh. In other words, what she's saying is this. This thing is past hope. And this thing is past. Are you doing anything for us in it? But I got good news for you, good neighbor. There ain't nothing too hard for God. Amen. And she said, Lord, listen, you know what Martha's problem was? That's the same problem as a lot of Baptists. And we want to say the same thing. Listen, Martha and Mary both said the same thing. And the difference is Martha was in his face and Mary was at his feet. Amen. And just soak on that for a minute. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. You ever want to get anywhere with God? Don't approach Him with an accusing finger to His face. But you can ask Him whatever you want to down at His feet. Amen. And I find in this text that she says, Lord, He stinketh. And this is what His reply is to her. He says, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I want to thank God. Listen, aren't you glad God gives us hope for dead situations in our life? I mean, there's things I'm praying about, friend. And you'll walk by that thing and you'll say, listen, I've been praying about it and praying about it, and it's dead and it don't look like it's ever going to come forth. Amen. I mean, I've been asking God. I'm bringing it to God. And listen, instead of it getting better, it's getting worse. Instead of it looking like there's life, it looks deader than it ever has. It don't even smell good anymore. It stinks at this point. God, there's no use in you even doing anything with it. But I thank God for the figurative resurrection in our Bible. Amen. Could I tell you this? Listen to me, friend. In A.D. 70, they consider that's the day whenever they stormed the walls of Jerusalem. They consider that to be the day that Israel ceased becoming a nation. They say A.D. 70, Israel was no longer a nation. And it looked like they wasn't going to be a nation. After a few days, and they didn't get back together, they said this thing's without hope. And then about 10 years later, there's nobody else got no hope. And then another generation passes, and there's no hope. And then two generations, and three generations, and four generations, and 1,877 years, have they got no hope. Amen. But thanks be unto God. On May 14th, 1948, what looked like it was a dead nation. What looked like it was not just a tombstone, but a graveyard. Amen. He said, what do you see, son of man? In Ezekiel 37, he said, I see a valley of dry bones, and lo, they are very many, and they are very dry. In other words, thank God, and they're beyond hope. Amen. And he asked him a question, and I love Ezekiel's answer. He said, son of man, how can these bones live again? And he said, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. And I feel like preaching right there a little bit. I'm sure glad, thank God. Ezekiel said, it looks pretty bad to me. It looks like there's a lot of bones. It looks like there ain't no life. And they've been dead a long time. Hey, listen, here's those folks, they say, if you believe in a little resurrection, hey, what about people that blow up? Hey, can I tell you in Ezekiel 37, hey, the Bible says bone came to bone. Hey, God, listen, friend. God didn't have no problem bringing bone back to bone, bringing sinew back to sinew, and bringing flesh back to flesh. There's nothing too hard for God. Now listen, if he can resurrect a dead nation after 1,878 years, surely he could help us. Amen.
Amen.
Brother George, I don't even like to be around those people. They say that they say, man, you know, America's too far gone, preacher. They said, this is as bad as it's ever been. Says who? Amen. Listen, could I help everybody here with a little Bible prophecy? This will help you study your Bible. America is not the focal point of Bible prophecy. Amen. Listen. And if you'll ever get that settled in your heart, that America is not the center of the world, amen.
Yeah.
I mean, we say it's worse here than it's ever been. Oh, it's pretty bad, ain't it? Everybody's belly's full. Everybody's got 3-4 cars. Everybody's, listen, hey, ain't nobody in this room doing too bad, amen. There's not bombs dropped around us. Everybody's making a little more than 100 quatcha a day, amen. Everybody's doing pretty good in life, I'd say. That's a mighty poor spot for me to say, this is as bad as it's ever been, amen.
Yeah.
Are we beyond this nation, beyond hope? Well, I done read about one that was dead longer than this one.
Yeah, right. Bless the Lord.
Yeah. All right, listen, let me. Some of you need to know, not only do we see a figurative resurrection over a nation, we see a figurative resurrection in a home. I'm sure glad about that. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad that God can resurrect dead homes. Ain't you glad for that? I'm glad God can resurrect dead affections. I'm glad God can come down to where we're at, thank God, and help us. He'll say, preacher, what's it look like? Well, I preached on it the other day out of Luke chapter number 15, talking about the prodigal son. You remember what he said about him? He said, this my son was dead. Amen. I bet something happened somewhere along the line, thank God. And he got made back alive. That is a figurative resurrection. And God put that in the Bible. I am convinced for mamas and daddies. And when they look at their kids and they got no more hope left, and God said, I can show you, young man. That was in a far country. That was in far worse circumstance. I bet thank God somebody kept feeding the calf and talking to God. And it got his attention, amen. I'm glad God, listen, could I say this? I'm glad God can resurrect some things individually. You remember when there were some things in your life that's more alive than they are today? Now listen, you've done missed your chance to shout. I'm past shouting point now. I'm going to tell you this. I want you to hear me real carefully. There's times you have to understand when Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and that the fellowship of his sufferings been made conformable unto his death. In order for you to experience the power of the resurrection, there first has to be the sorrow of death. There can't be a resurrection without a death. Y'all listen to me. There can't be the power moving on something that's alive and first it's dead. Amen. But oh, it's a blessed day when you can come in the house of God. Now, if your life's doing pretty good, and I say, hey, what about your prayer life? And you say, preacher, it ain't what it used to be. You're probably not going to get no help. But if you just said, preacher, it's dead. And my spirit's dead. My affections are dead. My Bible time's dead. My prayer life's dead. My joy's dead. You become a prime candidate for a resurrection. Amen. The Lord didn't come to Lazarus until he was dead. And he wanted to make sure he was good and dead. 4 days dead. Stinking dead. Amen. Not just a little dead. Real dead. Y'all all right? I mean, I'm talking about, thank God. Listen, he can pass through dead churches and bring them back to life. He sure can. He can pass by Christians. They got a name, they're living.
Come on.
Just slowly. Y'all right there. You remember when you used to have a testimony, but now it's dead? You used to have a desire. Now it's dead. Well, this wasn't going to be preaching time, but I feel it in me. So while I'm here, I might as well go ahead and say it. Vacation Bible School's here. Boy, ain't that a blessing. It's a blessing. Now, I remember when we first had Vacation Bible School, Hannah, I'd say, how many folks are we going to have come up to help decorate? You couldn't even believe the army of workers that show up. And this week, getting ready for Vacation Bible School, I say, how many folks showing up to work? Three. It ought to be quiet right there. It ought to be quiet right there. Say, what happened? Desire died. Y'all listen to me. Don't nobody get hurt at me. I'm being a pastor right here, and I'm trying to help us. You know what happened is that desire died. And if we don't recognize that there's a desire that used to be there that ain't there now, and get that thing around the resurrection, let God come passing by it and resurrect that thing, thank God we're in trouble. You say, preacher, I had to work. I ain't talking to you then. Y'all right there. I knew how this is going to go. I figured out about there's where I'd hit a snag or two. I understand folks got to work. Everybody wasn't working all the time. It's amazing to me how many folks enjoy the fruits, but nobody wants much labor. So when you pass by and you see everything that's done, you know just a few hands done it, but there ought to have been a lot. Amen. Well, let me move on before I kill the whole meeting right there. Is everybody all right there? Y'all feel like that was right? Well, it was right. Listen, it's in the right spirit too. I didn't say not none of that mean. I want you to watch on what the Bible says. We find spiritual resurrection. We find a figurative resurrection. But thank God, I sure am glad for a literal resurrection.
Amen.
There is going to come a day.
Amen.
That there is going to... Listen, one fellow used to say it like this. He said it trying to be mean. He said, them bunch of grave busters. That's what he'd say. He'd get up and preach. He'd say, any of them folks believe in that grave busting? I don't know how else you're coming out of a grave. How are you going to come out that grave? All I know is this. Whenever he called Lazarus' name, Lazarus did not pass through the walls of the sepulcher.
Come on.
He said, listen, however deep they bury me, there's going to be about that much dirt come up in an explosion of dynamite whenever Christ says, church, come up hither. Amen.
Yeah.
There'll be dirt clods and saints flying everywhere. Amen.
Yeah,
man. And I thank God for it.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, can I tell you three things? I'm going to be done right here. I'm resting in the fact that one of these days, listen, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm being as sincere in my heart as I can be. Listen, friend, we're all going to die. And when you die, I'm probably going to be sad, but there's going to be a big part of me going to be happy. And there's going to be an awful lot of me that knows that when a child of God with a good testimony dies, they don't die with a question mark.
Right.
They don't die with a period.
Right.
They die with a comma. Because it ain't the end.
Yeah.
The story just changes settings.
Yeah.
Some of y'all get that on the way home, thank God. Listen, I got born again by the good grace of God. And my story lives that I live forever. Whether it's here or in heaven, I will live on. Amen.
Amen.
Tell you a few things. I'm going to be done. Number one, you can rest assured of this. When the literal resurrection happens, just like in the life of Lazarus, there will be a voice to hear. He said, Lazarus, come forth. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 teaches us the same thing. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Voice of the archangel and the trump of God. There's going to be a voice to hear. There's going to be a miracle to feel. Amen. I mean, listen, I don't know how this worked out. All I know is Lazarus was 4 days stinking dead. God said, come forth. And he came forth.
Amen.
And everybody hanging out saying he wasn't going to come forth did not stop him from coming forth. That makes me a little happier than it makes most of you. All the naysayers in the world hang out all you want to. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. On account of he said they was. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And the first fruits means there's more to come. Well, all right, listen, let me say this. Stand to your feet so you know I'm done. I want you to notice this. There's going to be a voice to hear. There's going to be a miracle to feel. There's going to be a victory to enjoy. I got thinking about this. I'm done. I'm talking about resting in it. But if you can ever, I think one thing that I love about all of our missionaries is that they are literally resting in the fact there is a resurrection. All you can do is send them into the presence of God. That's the worst you can do to them. They're going to live on. They're going to live on. They're going to live on. And the sooner you come to terms with you only got one life, rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll sure help you. I don't know where we stand at tonight. I don't know. Listen, you come, get ready, get a song. I don't know where you stand at. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this to Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I'm talking about to folks that are saved. If there are things that are dead in your life, won't you get them around the resurrection and ask God, like, God, I don't know what else to do. If you've got lost people that are in your life, I tell you what you can do. You can get to them before the resurrection and say, Lord, I'd sure like for you to pass by their way. But if we don't have the resurrection coming by, then we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. God help us tonight.